The last couple Sundays, I've kind of hinted towards today's message as being a difficult message. And a number of you have kind of wanted to find out a little early, what are you going to be speaking on? And I've kept it quiet. And I think one reason is, hey, I want you back. I want you coming here. I think another reason is, in the back of my mind, if I needed to pull the pin and not preach on it, you guys wouldn't know that I changed. I've been preaching on encounters with God, divine encounters with God. And it was probably several months ago, maybe even 3 months ago, that I was kind of getting an idea of what I'd be preaching on, of people who encountered God in a very specific way. And I kind of got some names, and the Lord gave me some direction on each of them, you know, starting with Adam and Eve. You know, they sinned in the garden. Then Noah, he built the ark. And then we looked at Abraham, and he left to follow God. He left his home and followed after God. But later, we had two messages there. Later, we would see that Abraham kind of got a little anxious and thought he could help God out, which didn't work out so well. Then we looked at Jacob, and he doesn't seem to really fit a godly man. We looked at Joseph, who remained faithful. Moses, who followed God to Egypt. Joshua, who trusted God to tear down walls. We looked at Samuel last week, who learned the voice of God. These names and kind of some of the themes that God brought to my attention, they came easy. And at the time when I was writing down names, the Lord pointed out another name to me, the name of Naomi. And I'll get to her story in a moment, but I can tell you that she isn't one that I would have picked. In fact, I would say that she was one who didn't encounter God in a direct or specific way. I remember thinking, how can I preach on her encounter with God when I didn't see that God specifically spoke to her? But I jotted down a few notes and felt that God would help me when the time came to preach on her. Well, the time is here, and the Lord has given me some things since that time on what to share. This past month, I kind of knew what the Lord wanted me to speak on. Over this last month, I'm like, okay, Lord, I really don't want to do this. I really don't want to. I'm not comfortable with this. But here we are. And just trying to write out the message wasn't easy, and I'm sure, I'm really unsure how or where this message will lead to. I also know that my conclusion will be open-ended, and you'll be thinking when I'm done preaching, well, that really didn't answer a whole lot. I know. Because I want the Lord to really give you that information. This message impacts me deeply, and it might be one that impacts you, it might not be. But I know that if the Lord is asking me to give it, there's at least one. So, getting to Naomi, I was given her name several months ago, and lately God brought some things to the forefront with respect to my own personal life. About a month ago, God brought some conviction of an area needing change in my life. And that's what I'll be sharing with you this morning. It started with a conversation with a friend. A friend had talked with me about some things that he was doing to grow deeper in his relationship with the Lord. I'll just call them spiritual exercises. But he stated that one thing he was working through was looking at his childhood, looking for any areas where unforgiveness could have taken hold. He in turn encouraged me to think about doing the same, and what I would need to do is go through and think about my life, thinking from as early on as a child, and looking at times that I may have been hurt or let down. Times that I may never have really dealt with or forgiven. Maybe something that I buried deep. And I was supposed to start with my parents and work out from my parents, work through siblings, family members, and then friends and so on. And I'll be honest, when he first kind of challenged me to do that, I thought about it. Well, I'll think about it. I'm not sure that I really want to go there. I didn't put a huge effort into it right away. But I eventually took it to the Lord in prayer, because as I began to think about it and came to mind a number of times, I began thinking, okay, well, if there is an area of unforgiveness in my life that's impacting me, I want to know about it. I want to take care of it. So I spent some time with the Lord in prayer. I'd like to read this psalm to you. Psalm 139, verses 23 through 24. Search me, O God, and know my heart. Test me and know my anxious thoughts. Point out anything in me that offends you, and lead me along the path of everlasting life. This is a deep prayer for a serious follower of Christ, because you're asking God to open your eyes to anything in need of work. Is there anything in me that offends you, Lord? But when you're praying that, you also need to know and be willing that when God points something out, you do need to deal with it. And in my prayer, I began to visualize going through, like I said, starting with my father. Then I moved to my mother, and I moved to my brother and sister. And while praying, nothing huge or life-changing came to mind. At least no offenses that had not been dealt with. And so in my mind, I'm thinking, okay, I'm good. But then the Lord hit me with a 2x4. I wasn't really prepared. Though nothing significant came to mind of my family, the Lord clearly spoke, saying that I was harboring some anger toward him. It's a kind of experience where the Lord speaks and, first I've got not much to say. The next thing I want to do is I want to give excuses. I know what he was convicting me of, and I wanted to argue with him. I wanted to say, I'm not angry at you, Lord. I'm not bitter at you, Lord. I was disappointed with you, but I'm not angry. But deep down, I knew that the Lord was right. I wanted to call it disappointment. I wanted to call it, Lord, you disappointed me. You fell short, Lord. But how can I argue with God who knows me better than I know myself? I'm not going to go into specifics on what the issue was. But God was right. There was a time in my life that I felt God was being unfair. That I knew that he could have acted. That he could have chosen to intervene. But instead, he chose not to. I felt let down by his silence. I don't believe God was the cause of that hurtful time. I don't believe he caused it. But he pointed out to me that I was still blaming him for it. I disguised it as disappointment. I was blaming him because he did not act or respond the way that I wanted him to, the way I felt that he should have. Here I am. I'm a pastor. I should have everything figured out, right? I'm supposed to be the shepherd of a flock, a congregation. But the Lord is still pruning me and still molding me. God is pointing out a problem area And I would safely assume that if he is making that area clear to me, that if I am harboring anger towards God, then that has probably affected my ministry as well. And so, I am sorry, and I hope you forgive me. You see, I kind of know the words to say. I do know the truth. I know that God is good and His love endures forever. And those songs you picked this morning, they pick that. God is glory. He's strong. He's worthy of praise. He is good and His love endures forever. And I know He's sovereign in His ways. He is without error. I know those things. I know the words. I know what is true. But I can tell you that the humanness part of me is that I also admit that I don't always understand why things happen. I don't always know what His ways are. And there are times that I have been disappointed with God. And for one event in my life, the Lord has pointed out that I have harbored anger toward Him for the hurt that I felt. You see, sometimes things in life just hurt. And we want God to remove those hurts before we're hit with them. We want God to be the one to stand in front and keep us from anything that hurts our feelings or hurts us physically. We want Him to be the one who prevents anything bad from happening. And though God can and may intervene without even us knowing that He has, there are also many times that He does not stop bad things from happening and we do get hurt. But blaming God or harboring anger, he could even go even further and saying bitterness towards God will only lead you away from Him. And it will certainly allow Satan a foothold in your life. I was trying to figure out if I was the only one that has struggled with this. I went and asked a very mature Christian has gone through a lot of things. I asked him, have you ever felt angry at God? His answer was no. So if this message doesn't really apply to you, I understand. But we're going to look at someone in the Bible who did struggle with this, and that is Naomi. When God pointed out Naomi as a person I need to preach on, I understand now a little better on why. It isn't an encounter that God had with Naomi. It was Naomi's misinterpreted encounter with God that I needed to preach on. Naomi thought she encountered God, and it was not good. Let's read Ruth chapter 1. Starting with verse 1, and we'll see what she endured, what she went through. Ruth, chapter 1, verse 1. In the days when the judges ruled, there was a famine in the land, and a man from Bethlehem in Judah, together with his wife and two sons, went to live for a while in the country of Moab. The man's name was Elimelech, his wife's name Naomi, and the names of his two sons were Mahlon and Chilion. They were Ephrathites from Bethlehem, Judah. And they went to Moab and lived there. Now Elimelech, Naomi's husband, died, and she was left with her two sons. They married Moabite women, one named Orpah and the other Ruth. After they had lived there about 10 years, both Mahlon and Chilion also died. And Naomi was left without her two sons and her husband. When she heard in Moab that the Lord had come to the aid of his people by providing food for them, Naomi and her daughters-in-law prepared to return home from there. With her two daughters-in-law, she left the place where she had been living and set out on the road that would take them back to the land of Judah. Then Naomi said to her two daughters-in-law, "Go back, each of you, to your mother's home. May the Lord show kindness to you as you have shown to your dead and to me. May the Lord grant that each of you will find rest in the home of another husband." Then she kissed them, and they wept aloud, and said to her, "We will go back with you to your people." But Naomi said, "Return home, my daughters. Why would you come with me? Am I going to have any more sons who could become your husbands? Return home. My daughters, I am too old to have another husband. Even if I thought there was still hope for me, even if I had a husband tonight and then gave birth to sons, would you wait until they grew up? Would you remain unmarried for them? No, my daughters. It is more bitter for me than for you, because the Lord's hand has come out against me." If my message series is on divine encounters with God, this one wouldn't exactly fit the mold. And getting into just a little bit of what's going on there when she's talking about having other sons, there is, at that time, if there was another son, that other son would marry the wife of his brother. That was what she's talking about there, basically saying to her daughters-in-law, there's no chance that I'm going to have any more children that can take the role of your husband. But Naomi feels as though she had encountered God. And out of that encounter, God took her husband and two sons, leaving her an older woman away from her people with two daughters-in-law, which she cannot provide for. She feels like the Lord's hand is against her. Is she correct? Now, obviously we see that she feels that way. But is it true that God was against her? I did a little research into this, looking at different commentaries. And there are some scholars who would say that God was against her because they moved to Moab instead of staying in Bethlehem. Yet there's nothing in Scripture to uphold that view. Famines, when severe, were really bad. All of the Israelites were in Egypt because of a famine. As we saw just a few messages ago, God brought Joseph to Egypt in order to provide and save the family during that severe famine. So I don't agree that Naomi was being punished by God, but the fact remains she lost her husband and she lost her two sons. If that wasn't judgment of God, then what was it? And I think to answer this, we need to go back, all the way back to Genesis, back to shortly after creation. You see, in the Garden of Eden, everything was perfect. Everything was beautiful. There wasn't anything out of order. Life was good, and death and sorrow wasn't there. There was no death and sorrow. However, after Adam and Eve took of that forbidden fruit, something more happened than just Adam and Eve getting kicked out of the garden. You see, sin entered the world. Sin did not just affect Adam and Eve. You see, it affected everything. Within the world, sin poured out into the world, and there's pain, there's sickness, there's suffering, there's hard work, there's broken relationships, there's selfishness prevailing, there's violence, there's death. With the entrance of sin, all those things affected the world. A once perfect world. Is anyone above sin, or is anyone immune to the effects of sin? Well, we know that Jesus did not sin, but we also know he was very much affected by sin. His followers doubted him. A number of followers left him. We look at Jesus' friend Lazarus. Lazarus died. What did Jesus do? He mourned. Now, Jesus raised him from the dead. But Jesus was affected by the things of this world. Persecution. Jesus was affected by persecution from the so-called religious elite, those religious leaders. He also felt the violence that sin produced when he was whipped and then put on the cross. It was sin that put him on the cross. Not his sin, but ours. Everyone in this world is affected by sin. Jesus was compassionate to those suffering and hurting. Some suffering was a result of poor choices, while other suffering was not because of anything they did or their parents did, but simply just because of sin's impact on the world. I'd like to share a verse with you, Matthew 5:45. He causes his sun to rise on the evil and the good, and sends rain on the righteous and the unrighteous. See, this verse allows us to see God's love and blessing is poured out on both the righteous and unrighteous when it comes to the life-giving sun and the rain. But what happens when there's hail? You see, sin brings hail, hurricanes, tornadoes, earthquakes, tsunamis, because our world has been affected by sin. God uses disasters at times to gain attention of people, but not every tornado is a judgment of God. You ever think about that? It's simply a byproduct of a fallen and broken world that we live in. We live in a world where bad things happen, and bad things happen to all people, both godly and ungodly. Yet for most of us who put our faith in Jesus Christ, we somehow think that our faith will keep us away from the fallen things of the world. Now faith does in fact give us hope of a better future, because we have Christ who strengthens us, who's with us in the good and the bad times. And we have a heavenly reward in the future to look forward to, but that doesn't mean that we won't be affected by disease, traumatic events, violence, pain, or death. If you look at all the apostles, the 12, how many of them died terrible deaths? All but one. Sin impacts us all. Us personally, our surroundings, and the world we live in. But getting back to Naomi, she felt that because of what happened to her, that it was God's specific and divine will to take her loved ones and make her suffer. That's what she was thinking. She was thinking that God wants me to suffer, and therefore he took what I loved. But that's far from the truth. Now, I agree for anyone to go through such loss. That would be devastating. Life would be hard. But it was God who saw her in her troubles. It was God who felt her pain. And it was God who would bring about a plan for her life. See, God had a plan for her. Instead of being the one to blame, God is the one who brings comfort and provision. Naomi tells her daughters-in-law, go back to their, she tells them to go back to their families. But one daughter-in-law refused to leave her side. Ruth was not going to leave Naomi. Ruth is going to be used by the Lord to provide for Naomi. And in an even greater aspect, Ruth will be a part of the lineage of Jesus. But Naomi would have a part in that happening through her advice and through Naomi going back to Bethlehem. See, God is using the circumstances here to further bring glory to his name. And through the book of Ruth, we see a story of redemption and provision. We see a story of love and perseverance. But we do see an area that is troubling, and that's the one I'm pointing out. Naomi and Ruth, they return to Bethlehem, and Naomi is recognized in that town after all those years of being away. And instead of warm embraces, Naomi shows her anger toward God. And what she tells those that come to greet her. We see this in Ruth 1, 19 through 21. So the two women went on until they came to Bethlehem. When they arrived in Bethlehem, the whole town was stirred because of them. And the women exclaimed, "Can this be Naomi?" "Don't call me Naomi," she told them. "Call me Mara, because the Almighty has made my life very bitter. I went away full, but the Lord has brought me back empty. Why call me Naomi? The Lord has afflicted me. The Almighty has brought misfortune upon me." You see, that word Naomi, the name Naomi, means pleasant. And Naomi does not want to be known as the pleasant one any longer. Don't call me pleasant. Naomi tells the ladies to call her Mara, which means bitter. She wants to be known as the bitter woman whom God afflicted. Wow. I don't know that I've really sat down and looked through this part of Ruth and really studied what Naomi is saying. Many people recognized her. They knew her before she left. When they come back, she's like, don't even think of calling me pleasant. I am not pleasant. I am bitter because of what God has done to me. Don't get me wrong, she went through a lot. We don't see that anyone ever really called her Mara, but we definitely see that she is bitter. She is angry at God, and angry that she believes God took her loved ones or allowed them to be taken. Yet bitterness brings death. Bitter waters could not be drank. Bitterness in the heart leads to death. Naomi told the people of Bethlehem that she felt full when she left, but she returned empty. Because of her bitterness, she could not even acknowledge the faithful daughter-in-law who came all the way back with her. You see, look at Ruth. Ruth lost her husband. Ruth lost her father-in-law. Ruth lost her brother-in-law. And now she is caring for her bitter mother-in-law, who seemingly neglects to be thankful for Ruth because she's so consumed by bitterness. Ephesians 4:31, get rid of all bitterness. Hebrews 12:15, look after each other so that none of you fails to receive the grace of God. Watch out that no poisonous root of bitterness grows up to trouble you, corrupting many. I like how the author put bitterness. Likens it to a plant that starts with a root and begins to grow. What does that root look like? It could look like Naomi's loss. You know, that root could look like a terminal or difficult illness. It can look like a traumatic event in one's life. It could look like an act of violence against you. It could look like a broken marriage. It can look like death of a dearly loved one. It might even look like something else that deeply impacts you. That's what that root could look like. Though the event that you go through may be life-changing, that root of bitterness may start out really small. It could start out very little. But the more it is fed and watered, it grows. That poisonous plant grows bigger and almost begins to look like a parasite. It grows until it consumes the person that feeds it. And the grace of God is missed because there's no room. There's no room for grace when bitterness has taken over. So often when we think of bitterness, we might think of it toward another person. And for the most part, that probably is true when people are struggling with conflict with other people. There may be that's a struggle, is bitterness there towards someone else. But we see here that Naomi was bitter against God. For me, I buried anger toward God because honestly, I called it something else. I didn't see it as anger, but the Lord convicted me of it, which means it was impacting my life, no matter how long ago it may have been. Is there something like that in your life? Is there anger toward God in your life because of something that you've had to go through? Have you, like me, buried it and maybe called it disappointment? Maybe called it a failure on God's part? You know, I don't know if I have all the answers when it comes to this. But I do know that God is the answer, not the problem. I know that God did not turn his back on Naomi. Naomi changed from bitterness to praises in chapter 2, if you want to read on in Ruth. I think because Naomi finally was able to see what God had in store for her and Ruth. We know that there is nothing impossible for God, but we don't always understand when He allows things to happen or does not answer our prayers in the way we would like. I know that we cannot blame God, even if there was an element of judgment. You make a poor choice and bad things happen, it still falls back on us. God is not to blame. Let us all seek the Lord for forgiveness and let go any anger that we may be holding on to. Let our hurts be used to encourage others, that God may be glorified even more. Let us fervently pray that out of such bad, that God will turn it around for good and for His glory. Let us not miss out on any of God's grace because we filled that area with anger. I've seen people walk away from their faith because they felt that God abandoned them. I've seen people walk away from their faith to be consumed with bitterness. But it's God who is there to see you in your pain, and He'll be the one to help you through. You see, for those of you that may have struggled with a hurt in the past and may have anger with God, I want you to know that God has a plan for your life. God has a plan. We don't understand why things happen, but when we continue moving forward in our relationship with Him, that plan will come forth. The hurt may be deep, But God is bigger than that.